Richard kind of introduced me earlier, but my name is Lynn Martin, and I'm part of the staff team here at St. Mark's with a particular remit for students and internationals. If you would like to know more about that, if you are a student or an international and we've never met, then please come and say hello after the service. So we are in a season when we're looking as a fellowship through Mark's gospel and doing that together with the help of this book, King's Cross by Timothy Keller. If you are not currently engaging within a small group setting or within a mid-sized group setting, engaging through the studies on a Sunday, our sermons, through this book, can I encourage you that it is not too late to get involved? The other thing I want to encourage you is that as we read this book, as we study, as we listen to the sermons on a Sunday, that it is really important that we keep as a backdrop to all of that the person of Jesus. It is important that we filter everything that we read in Scripture, in this book, the sermons that we're listening to, through the person of Jesus, and keep in our hearts and minds the uniqueness of centrality of Jesus. So our passage today, read from Mark, thank you, Lisa, we have before us two events, the common thread of which is the fact that they both happened on the Sabbath day. Now, just because they appear together in Mark's gospel does not necessarily indicate that they are time-related. They could have happened months apart, but Mark has put them together because of that common thread. So in this first account, we see Jesus and his disciples walking through a field. And as the disciples are walking, they pick some grain. Now, the religious law of the time said that the act of separating the head of the grain from the outer husk was an act of work. It was the very act of harvesting. And that was forbidden on the Sabbath day, according to the religious laws of the time. And as a consequence, the Pharisees challenged Jesus. Now, I think that we have a lot to learn from the ways in which Jesus responds to questions and challenges. He often answers a question with a question. And in this case, he answers the challenge of the Pharisees by telling them or recounting to them an event from the Old Testament, an event that they would have been extremely familiar with themselves. It's the event of David and his men who take refuge in the synagogue, in the temple, and they eat of the holy bread, bread that was meant for the priests alone. But more than that, Jesus goes on to make these two bold declarations, verses 27 and 28 of chapter 2. Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." That was a direct challenge to Pharisaical teaching and thinking of the day. Then he goes on to say, "The Son of Man," referring to himself, Jesus knows exactly who he is. "The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." So I just want you to hold that thought for a moment, and I want us to take a detour. So the word, the Hebrew word for Sabbath, Sabbat, means to stop, to rest, to cease from work. And the first actual use of this word Sabbath, our English word Sabbath, comes in Exodus 20, verse 8, in the giving of the Ten Commandments, where it says, "Remember the Sabbath day, keeping it holy." It was the fourth of 10 commandments given to the people through Moses. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. But I want to look back a little further than that to the account of creation. So in Genesis chapter 1, we have a fairly detailed account of creation, the days in which various things were created. But the beginning of chapter 2 of Genesis says this: "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." Why did God rest? Was he exhausted? Was he a bit like me at the end of the week? Did he say, "Man, that this creation business is hard work. I seriously need a day off"? Well, fortunately for us, God is not like that. He was not exhausted. It was not a rest of exhaustion. God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He does not need a day off because he's kind of pooped. It was a rest of completion and a rest of satisfaction. So now I've got two thoughts that I want you to hold. First of all, Jesus' declaration at the end of Mark chapter 2. "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." And the second thought, that the rest of God, the rest that God demonstrates in the creation account, is not a rest of exhaustion, but a rest of completion and a rest of satisfaction. So we'll turn back to our passage for today and to this second event that Mark recounts for us. So this time Jesus is in the synagogue and there is a man there with a shriveled hand. Now, we don't know the cause of this. We don't know what the man's circumstances were. We don't know if he'd had this disability since birth. But I think what we're fairly safe to say is that it probably affected his ability to work. Now, the religious law of the day stated that you could only heal on the Sabbath if someone's life was at risk. So if a person was dying, you could intervene. But that wasn't the case for this man. Yes, he had a disability, but Jesus knows exactly what the Pharisees are thinking. He knows what's in their hearts and minds. And he knows that they are trying to catch him. And being the controversial character that he is, if we have a picture of Jesus, always meek and mild and sugary sweet, we better read some more of the scriptures. He was a controversial character. So he has the man stand up, come up in front of everybody. And this is what he says in verse 4. It says, Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill?" And there was silence. The Pharisees had no response. And Mark's gospel goes on to tell us that Jesus was angry. Why was Jesus angry? Well, let's consider this question. Did God create the Sabbath to be a burden and a drain on people? No, he didn't. The Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath was given as a gift to us. It is given for our relationship with God as a day set aside to be holy. Yet the Pharisees had ring-fenced the Sabbath commandment with umpteen other rules and regulations, and a burden and a drain was exactly what the Sabbath had become to the people. The Pharisees preached religion. God invites us into relationship. The Pharisees were so caught up with what not to do on the Sabbath that they failed to care about or even consider what was right to do. And in this account of healing, really in both of these accounts, we see clearly that the Pharisees are more concerned with the observance of the law than they were about a person with a genuine need. The Pharisees preached religion, but God invites us in to relationship. This second account ends with the Pharisees, who were the religious rulers of the day, plotting together with the Herodians, who were the political power of the day. They followed Herod. In any other circumstance, these two groups hated each other. But they are drawn together by a common goal to get rid of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was a threat to their religious and political power and to their standing in the community. So here's a question that I've been asking myself as I was preparing. Are these two accounts simply about what we should and shouldn't do on the Sabbath day? I don't think so. One of the things Sadhu talked about last week was our desire in Western culture to have black and white answers to our questions. And if you came here this morning hoping that I'd give you some kind of handle on how to take Sabbath rest, or some kind of clear formula as to what should or shouldn't happen on the Sabbath, I'm afraid there's a good chance you're going to go home disappointed. Is the rest that God demonstrated in the account of creation, is the Sabbath that is being addressed here in these passages, some kind of formula of one day rest in seven? In some ways, yes, and in some ways, no. God definitely calls us to rest. He calls us to take time off, to rest physically, emotionally, mentally, to re-energize our bodies and our souls. And a danger in our culture, a danger in the West, and dare I say a danger for some of us sat here today, is that our lives are so busy, so frenetic, that sometimes there is little room for Jesus. Maybe as we do rest, our rest looks more like a rest of exhaustion than a rest of completion or satisfaction. I believe that this Sabbath rest that God intends for us goes deeper than that. Last Sunday, Sadhu also talked about the difference between Western and Eastern thinking. And our Western thinking often asks, what do you do? Our identity is in what we do. It is in the external. But the Eastern mindset says, to whom do you belong? And Keller explains well in his book that Christianity is not just about external actions to be performed and sacrifices made. Let me just read a passage out of Keller's book. This is page 39, if you want to refer to it later. Most people in the world believe that if there is a God, you relate to God by being good. Most religions are based on that principle, though there are a million different variations on it. Some religions are what you might call nationalistic. You connect to God, they say, by coming into our people group and taking on the markers of our society membership. Other religions are spiritualistic. You reach God by working your way through certain transformations of consciousness. Yet other religions are legalistic. There's a code of conduct, and if you follow it, God will look upon you with favor. But they all have the same logic. If I perform, if I obey, I'm accepted. The gospel of Jesus is not only different from that, but diametrically opposed to it. I am fully accepted in Jesus Christ, and therefore I obey. I believe that the biblical mindset says, to whom do I belong? To whom do I belong? The Pharisees preached religion, but Jesus invites us into relationship. In the Old Testament, God provided an array of sacrifice offerings for the people to atone for their sins. In the New Testament, he offers us Jesus as a perfect sacrifice. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. It is in him and him alone that we find eternal rest. It is in him and him alone that we find peace in the midst of the storms. It is in him, Jesus, and Jesus alone, that we find forgiveness for our sins. It's in him and him alone that we find healing for our minds, bodies, and souls. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. The Pharisees preached religion, but Jesus invites you and I into relationship. Let's pray.